Well, good morning, prayer warriors. Hey, I just want to say, hope you're just having an amazing week. Yeah, this is amazing, that amazing time of year where we just really kind of bear down and we really try and understand God and Jesus and what he's done for us just a little bit more. And just keeping in that, let's just open just in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just give thanks to you for all you have done. You've just brought light into our lives. You have forgiven us. You seek us. You chase after us. Thank you, Lord, as we just continue to praise your name and we give prayer to those around us and offer it up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, hey, this is just our ongoing series in prayer, and prayer has been mentioned over 600 times in the Bible, and so we've got a long ways to go, and I just want to thank you for just being here. And so last week, we kind of talked about Jesus' last prayers, some of them, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they all talked about Jesus there leaving his disciples, going away in the garden, you know, just, I mean, he was just in agony, and he called out to his dad, his father, he was praying, you know, take this cup from me, if it is your will. And so it wasn't his dad's will to take that cup from him, because he knew, Jesus knew, that he was going to go through that physical abuse and that mental and emotional and spiritual abandonment. But he knew the end of the story, that he'd come out of the tomb and he'd be among us and he would be our Savior, our bridge to his Father. But anyway, that was just an amazing little prayer, and he prayed it three times there in the garden. So he was super serious about this thing, and he still died for our sins and still rose on that third day. And that was just a key prayer that we kind of took a look at in those first three Gospels last week. And then, you know, we also take a look at the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, and that's when the disciples said, hey, you know, Jesus, you know, teach us how to pray, and it's there in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And we know all those, you know, 60-some-odd words as they've been translated, you know, our Father who art in heaven. And so how to pray. And so he taught the disciples how to pray. Well, then today I'd like to just touch on John 17. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, but John 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 17, has got Jesus' prayer. And this is really, you know, some people call this really our Lord's Prayer or Jesus' prayer. Others call it the high priestly prayer, depending on, you know, what you kind of study and what your background is. And in this case, if you want to turn your Bible there to John 17, we're studying a part of this here at Lighthouse, in fact. That last third, which we'll kind of get into, and Pastor Greg is just doing an amazing job on that and just delving into, you know, what it really means to us. And we'll touch on that in just a second. But just to kind of put it in perspective, we saw the Jesus' prayers there in the Garden of Gethsemane. However, just before that, what happened? It was the Last Supper. And here we've got John 17 is Jesus has got, you know, the 11 disciples there with him, around him there at the Last Supper. And this is just kind of before they go out. And if you really study it, you take a look at it, and it's broken down, Jesus is praying, one, in those first five verses for himself. And then, you know, from six on, he's praying for his disciples. So he prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and then that last third that we're even looking at here at Lighthouse is he's praying for everybody else. And that's a key component. So if we take a look at this big prayer, it's just amazing, and it's got 26 verses to it. So if you want to take a quick look at it, if we look at it, he's talking to his disciples, and his disciples up until now, there in 16, he has said, "Oh, hey, you know, you're he talked a lot in parables, and his disciples kind of had that duh look every once in a while. But there at 29, 16:29, his disciples said to him, "See, now you're speaking plainly and using no figure of speech." And so this is towards the end of that supper, and he goes on to talk to it a little bit more, and then Jesus spoke these words. Start of chapter 17, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come." Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was going to go to Gethsemane. He was going to be taken away. He was going to be beaten and tortured, abandoned. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son." He's talking about himself. "That your Son may also glorify you." So it's this really loving Abba Father relationship. And we get into the details as we go down. In verse 3, he says, "You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ," he's talking about himself, "whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." And so here he's praying about himself in this relationship, this Abba Father relationship. "I have manifested your name to the men who you have given me out of the world." So now he's transitioned out of that first verses 1 through 5 to his disciples. And his disciples are sitting there with him, the 11. Judas has already left. And he says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me." So God has taken these men and appointed them to be his disciples. "They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." So he is making this jump that they get it. These 11 get it. This is the hope within Jerusalem. "And now they've known all things. And I've given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you," that he is the Son of God. These 11 know that now, and they have believed that you sent me. And here it is. "I pray for them." So here is Jesus praying for his disciples. "And I don't pray for the world, but these whom you have given me, for they are yours." And so he's praying not only for himself, but also for his disciples. This is such a powerful prayer. And as he goes down, he says, "And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as you are not of the world if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You're out of this world, but we're in the world, aren't we? And I pray that you do not take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one." So he recognizes what's going to happen. We pray for protection. We pray for our families to be protected. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world." So here's this. He's commissioning them. And they're probably sitting there dumbfounded. Here is this rabbi, this teacher, praying for them. And that's what we have to understand. And then when we jump on down there to 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." And it goes on to say, "Father, I desire that they whom you give me may be with me where I am." And so now he starts in this prayer of unity for the rest of us, for you and me. He's prayed for himself. He's prayed for his disciples. And he knows what's going to happen. He is praying for us. He is praying for you. He is praying for me. What do we learn out of this? This is an amazing prayer that Jesus says, and sometimes we skip over it. And just because it's long, it's 26 verses. Read it, study it, because you can pray for yourself. You can pray for your family. You can pray for those around you who are unsaved. do that this week. Study these verses, read God's word, pray for yourself, your family, and pray for others, the unsaved. Thank you so much. It is just such a blessing to have the opportunity to meet with you every week. Have an amazing week. Thank you.